Coming up on today's special edition of Family.ie, it's our 2014 Year in Review.
Family capital is, at its core, social capital upon which we build the future of our country.
They have this secret kind of physical language that we don't share with anyone else. We have secrets that are just between us.
I remember coming home and I was beaming and I said to my mum, I think I've met my best friend.
It's easy to become infatuated with people, you know, people that exude excitement and confidence. But your relationship can't be built on an emotional high. That's not enough, especially if you're looking towards marriage.
I worry a bit about the world situation, the world setback in a big way since I was a young man.
The biggest thing with the younger people today is they have more or less lost their religion, and they should think more deeply about that.
The exclusion of God is the whole problem in the world.
We have a good role. We try to not go to sleep while being angry with one another if we have had some kind of disagreement. That's why I'm so sleepy today. Oh,
coffee's my only hope.
I'm Ronan Johnston, and you're very welcome to today's special edition of Family.ie. As we prepare for the new year ahead, we invite you to join us now for a few of the many highlights of the various love and marriage topics we covered this past broadcast year. One of the first series of three programmes we presented was called Surviving the First 5 Years of Marriage. Let's hear a few highlights. In the early days of marriage, parting is such sweet sorrow.
Oh, sweetheart, I'm afraid I have to head off to work.
Oh, me too, but I hate to leave you.
Me too. The thought of 8 long hours apart, it's almost more than I can bear.
Text me when you get there, so I know you're safe.
Okay, sugar plum,
you do the same.
Oh, I will, honey bunches.
I love you.
No, I love you. And text me when you're on your way home, so I can have dinner ready.
And don't you worry about cleanup. I'll take care of all of that and massage your feet after, just like every night.
You're the best husband ever. I love you. Don't forget to text me.
I will, of course. Don't forget you to text me. And don't forget, I love you.
But fast forward a bit, and even if it's ever so slightly, things may change.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm off to work, so.
Yeah, well. Good talking to you.
If either one of those scenarios we just heard sounds familiar, you'll want to stay tuned. Many have said that the first 5 years are the most difficult. Not everyone would agree on that, of course, but I think what everyone who's been there or still is there would say is that the first 5 are some of the most foundational. We'll hear from Isla Jeffers and Joy Cantwell Moore of Equip Ministry Ireland, followed by Peter and Fiona Perham of the Nazareth Family Institute. To begin our discussion, here's our own Stephen Carty.
Why are the first 5 years so important?
But don't they say it's the first 40 years are the worst?
Yes.
And then you get the hang of it.
Yes.
I think it can be very tough because you're bringing two completely different cultures together. You might be from the same town, but you've grown up in your family and he's grown up in his. And the way you do things is very different. And there's always a clash, I think, and a time of working that out, knocking the corners off each other, I suppose.
And it might take more than the first 5 years
yeah.
to do that.
Yes.
It definitely does.
Yeah. If you think back, when you told anyone you were getting married, what's the first thing people do here? It's the jokes about, oh, the ball and chain
oh,
and all
yeah,
that.
And soften your coffee.
That's right, all of that. You get an awful slagging. I think particularly yeah. my husband got an awful slagging.
Did he?
Oh, terrible slagging. Yeah. But it was meant in good fun. Do you
yeah.
know what I mean? It really
yeah.
was. But underneath that, I think there is a deep, deep respect of marriage, actually.
I think the whole falling in love thing is what people go for. Even though people now do move in together and probably get disillusionment much earlier and they get married already having experienced disillusionment, they still have this hope and dream that marriage is going to sort it. You know, when we get married, it'll be wonderful. And what's missing is you don't believe in marriage itself. You believe in the other person and you think they're wonderful and they're going to be everything for you. And when they let you down, you think, well, I married the wrong person. Mm. But, you know, because we're human and sinful people, we're going to let each other down. Mm-hmm. So you believe in this marriage and you say, okay, we're going to live this marriage out here, down here in life together. And when things go wrong, we go back up to our vision. What did we promise each other? Mm. So it's a kind of a two-tier thing, that this is my calling in life, that no matter what happens, until death do we part, even if I have to kill him. that we believe in.
Yes, thank you for that.
Well, I suppose laughter is a sign of life. Time simply won't allow us to present all of the resources available, but we do hope you'll visit us at family.ie. There you'll find links to the various services and information mentioned on this series, along with the audio downloads of this series, free to listen to online or download for later. Simply click on the page for this radio programme, Surviving the First 5 Years of Marriage. Now to another timely topic, but again, we need to warn you. If you have small children nearby, you might want to make sure that they're out of earshot for the next few minutes. Julie Slattery is an internationally known clinical psychologist, author, speaker, and broadcaster. In mid-2012, she co-founded the organisation known as Authentic Intimacy. Julie visited in October of 2012 for her first women-only event in Ireland. As no doubt you'll hear, she's not afraid to talk about the tough topics, recovering from sexual abuse and other issues that are common among people in Ireland and around the world. But one of the issues that seems to be widespread and almost commonplace nowadays is pornography.
Pornography is all over our culture, all over our screens, it's on our phones, it's on everything, and so readily accessible by all ages. You know, people just know that there's something about pornography is really affects marriages very badly. Do you want to just say a little bit about that?
It's not even that I feel it affects marriages very badly. Research shows that. Pornography is like sexual candy in some ways. It's an immediate satisfaction. But in the long run, it has a very detrimental effect on the health of your sexuality and your marriage, to the point that many men, for example, can't respond sexually to their own wives because their minds have been so trained to need a quicker fix or something that's pushing the envelope even more than what they saw last night. And so their wife, who's asking for sensitivity, who's asking for patience, who needs him to slow down a bit, he can't do that, because he's trained his body and his sexuality to respond to something that's immediate gratification. And so although it's an immediate thrill, in the long run, it will destroy intimacy in your marriage.
You're listening to family.ie, and this is our 2014 year in review. You can find much more about authentic intimacy when you head over to our website, www.family.ie. We need to take a quick break now, but coming up next, many more highlights, including our series called Prepare for a Great Wedding Day, as well as a clip from one of our family.ie radio magazine programs as we explored the fact or fiction behind Love at First Sight. So don't go away. There's much more to come on today's special edition of family.ie. Welcome once again to family.ie. This is our special 2014 year in review. Another series we covered was for couples preparing to tie the knot. It's called Prepare for a Great Wedding Day and an Even Better Life After. We heard from a number of couples, some were still preparing to say I do, and the others exchanged their vows in the past 10 years. Let's hear a few of the highlights of those conversations.
So, what do you think will be some of the biggest challenges to deal with once you are married?
Wendy can't iron.
I can't iron. That's going to be tough. Terrible. And I really don't have to learn. I would imagine a big challenge would be if we're blessed enough to have children.
Over in Switzerland, they're so strict on time. They're so disciplined, whereas the Irish are just like, yeah. I suppose we're just trying to find the common ground between the two of us.
Sometimes I don't know where I stand with the Irish because they're so friendly. And I don't know, you know, sometimes is that really true or not? So I have to trust Graham because he was raised in this culture. So he knows, you know, how things were meant. So he has to translate for me sometimes.
I suppose agreeing on stuff, you know, like
saving where the money is going to go.
Yeah, and about like appropriate time to have kids and like is the appropriate funding there for kids. I know it's a sad thing to say, but there's no point having kids if you can't afford them, you know?
I believe, like, for everything, you need to have a strong foundation. Like, for us, our Christianity, our ministries as well. I know there are storms in life. Whatever storm we'll face, it will always come back to this being our foundation. That was what is going to hold us strong together.
The foundation is true. That the fact that we have not even stayed together is a very huge foundation. And the fact that we are friends now.
I remember coming home and I was beaming and I said to my mum, I think I've met my best friend.
There have been hard times, but even in that suffering that she is carrying, and it's hard on both of us, there has been some wonderful changes in that, and it has given us deep roots.
Things that just kind of get up our nose and stuff, so we try not to go to those places too many often, you know, to annoy one another and to be snappy with one another and just being careful with our words, really.
I think for us, I think the challenges we have to face is complacency. It's not to take each other for granted, you know, not to just go about your daily business and forget to show love to this other person, you know. So,
you know, when there's an extra bit of cargo on board, then it's better to know in advance where the pressure points so that you can prepare for those, maybe.
Those first few years, even when you're starting your family, you are at a level of sleeplessness that isn't there later, hopefully.
Just a few highlights of our series called Prepare for a Great Wedding Day and an Even Better Life After. If you and your partner are moving towards marriage, we fully realise you're probably under a lot of pressure, but we hope you know that we are in your corner to help in any way we can. There's loads more information on our website, family.ie. We think you'll find it's a wealth of information, whether you're single, married, separated, divorced. We try to have something for everyone in the family. You'll also find podcasts of this programme series and other topics we've covered. While you're there, look for the links to follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. Again, that's www.family.ie. Another highlight of our year was bringing you a variety of radio magazines. We cover topics including freedom from bullying, debt, budgeting, how to drug-proof your kids, and helping young women navigate an increasingly promiscuous culture. Another thing we explored was the whole concept of love at first sight. I'm sure everyone can relate to the fairy tales that tell of two strangers who see each other across a crowded room. In a moment, they catch each other's gaze. Cupid shoots down his arrow. The unseen tractor beam draws them to each other. They don't have to say a word. They don't even have to know each other's name, because it is, without a doubt, love at first sight. And they live happily ever after. Right? Well, it almost always works out okay in fairy tales.
My feelings of excitement within myself are not associated principally with the needs of the other person.
And that's great. That's fun. That's part of growing up. It's part of developing relationships with people. But it isn't going to be the enduring piece as you're talking about.
And love that's enduring is one where the focus and the orientation in the relationship is towards the betterment of the other person, where you're willing to sacrifice your interests and your desires and your wants and so on in order to serve and to meet the needs of the other person and not yourself.
So the fireworks don't last forever?
No.
It takes time to notice, to understand the difference between your infatuation or real love. Also, I actually overheard a conversation the other day. I heard one person saying to another, well, I realised I was really only infatuated with him. And I thought to myself, oh, that was a great revelation. Well done, you spotted it in time. Because this person obviously had thought that they were deeply in love with this other person and realised that actually it was infatuation. That woman had saved herself from a whole lot of pain and misery much later on. So it does take time. You mightn't spot it immediately. But if you just wait and watch, and Dr. Dobson actually has advice for people who are contemplating marriage to say, make no important life-changing decisions quickly or impulsively, he says stall for time. So, you know, maybe rushing into marriage isn't such a good idea. You need to wait and see.
Or even cohabiting, Evans, which is pretty common. You know, sort of we'll try it out and see how it goes. The reality is it's not on a solid footing then. And it's not based on a commitment. Exactly. And I mean, God himself is a covenant-making God, and he designed marriage as a commitment between a husband and a wife. We see this right in the very beginning of time in the story of Genesis, where he talks about man and woman and their commitment to each other. And, you know, that is the nature of strong relationships. And marriages need those strong relationships to endure and survive and to raise healthy children into adulthood. And we have the great privilege of modelling that if we're parents and we have children, to show them a lifelong commitment in relationship with two people who are potentially completely different from each other. But you won't find that out in the beginning. And in the emotional high, when you start connecting in a relationship and you are attracted to somebody and you have the emotional sort of thrill of being involved in a relationship that's of real interest to you and so on, you won't be aware of sort of maybe the things that about the person that you'll discover later when you get married, you know, and you live with them for a while. And I'm still in the process of finding out things about my wife, and she likewise about me, even though we've been married now for 23 years. You know, we're still in the process of discovering who we're married to. And that's a tremendous journey of discovery. It's a great privilege to be involved with somebody over for that length of time and to have been able to discover so much about each other and to be there for one another.
So the answer to the question as to how you distinguish between infatuation and real love, it takes time.
It takes time.
Ah yes, time is often a great way to help us distinguish between emotion and reality. If you'd like to research it a bit further, stop by www.family.ie and there you'll find more information about a helpful book by Dr. James Dobson called Emotions, Can You Trust Them? We have many more highlights still to come on this special 2014 year in review. Stay tuned after this quick break for a look back at our series called Marriage in Ireland Today. More challenging or more exciting on today's edition of Family.ie. Welcome once again to Family.ie. This is our 2014 year in review. More now as we listen back to a few choice moments of our four-part series called Marriage in Ireland Today. More challenging or more exciting? We heard from a variety of couples who married across different cultural backgrounds. Half the couples were from both sides of Ireland, while the others were from different parts of the world. Now though, let's meet some more individuals who have married across ethno-cultural lines. As we've heard already, the blend of cultures can be both a blessing and a challenge at times. The difference with these couples, though, is that one of the partners in each situation is originally from Ireland.
My name is Arthur Shardall. Originally, I come from a beautiful land called Tipperary.
My name is Christine, and originally I come from Latvia. I've
been married for 2 months.
I suppose to understand that, I suppose from my own point of view, that my culture has put upon me certain ideas as the way things should be done. I suppose to understand not just the other person, but to understand the culture from where they're coming, simply because that'll give you a better idea of the expectations of that other person.
We have a good role. We try to not go to sleep while being angry with one another. If we have had some kind of disagreement, it has to be sorted out before we go to sleep. That's why I'm so sleepy today. Oh,
I haven't slept. I don't know. I'm telling you now. Oh, it's just coffee's my only hope.
My name is Farad. I'm from France with an Arabic background, and I'm living in Ireland now.
I'm Fiona, originally from Kerry, living in Cork for the last probably 13, 14 years.
We've been married 13 years now.
I would recommend to people, if you're marrying into a different culture, share your culture with each other. Be open to learning about the other person's culture together.
And I would just say, remember that marriage can be fun. You know, you've decided to spend your life with this person. It's not a sentence. It should be fun. And remember that fun. And I think one thing that Farad said, sometimes he does that for me. You know, if we've come through maybe a difficult time or a time where we're both really busy and we haven't seen each other very much, and when we do see each other, it's kind of fraught with tension or snappiness, or sometimes he'll say, do you remember when we met first? And he'll describe a particular moment to me, or he'll bring me back in my mind to a time or a place. And I can just feel myself smiling when he starts doing it. And it brings us back to that beginning of, you know why I fell in love with you? And he'll name the things that he saw in me back then. And then it'll remind me to cultivate those things, because that's who he fell in love with. And of course we change, and of course we adapt, and of course time changes us. But the qualities that drew us to the person should never go away.
That's a great piece of advice, and something for us all to practice if we're not doing that already. You're listening to Family.ie. I think what we've heard so far is that cross-cultural marriage can bring additional challenges, but with work, they can certainly bring an added depth and richness to both families. It's probably safe to say that no marriage is easy, but the thought of marrying cross-culturally in Ireland wasn't always as readily embraced as it is today. By the way, we'd love to hear from you. Our text comment line is 086 251 6886 or email us anytime, radio@family.ie. Again, contact us via text at 086 251 6886 or radio@family.ie. We're looking back at some of the many highlights of 2014. Without a doubt, one of our key series was called Can Your Marriage Go the Distance? I don't think anyone would dare say they've arrived when it comes to marriage. No matter how long we tied the knot, we all have things to learn. Some things we have to learn by experience, but other things we can learn from the experiences of others at various stages of their journey together. I think we'd be well served to stop and listen to those who are setting a great example for us all, and we're honoured to hear now from three such couples. Each of them has been married for over 50 years, and they're still going strong.
I'm Ted Kelly. I'm from the little seaside town of Bangor in County Down, Northern Ireland.
And I'm Elizabeth Kelly, known to everyone else as Liz, and I come from Belfast, County Antrim.
And we've been living down here in the Republic for 52 years. We came here straight from our honeymoon. And after 52 years, we just thank God for a relationship that has been so enduring. And I suppose we could say, in a more mature way, we love one another more than ever. I hope that doesn't sound too smoochy, but it's the reality.
My name is Emmett Ryan from Greystone in Limerick City.
My name is Patricia Ryan, better known as Connie Ryan, Greystone's Limerick.
I owe a lot to my dear wife. She looks after me beautifully and has a great regard for the cookery department, which we all benefit from.
We're Bill and Lottie Crowley. We're Dubliners, having just had our 60th.
I have great perseverance. No, I think, apart from the fact that we do love each other, I think being Christians is a big help. Because it's not just the two of us, the Lord is there as well. There's three of us in this marriage, and that makes a big difference.
We sincerely thank each of you so much for taking the time to share some of your experiences with us here at family.ie. Believe it or not, we found the hardest couples to commit to doing radio interviews with us were the golden years category. We were starting to think the secret to a long and happy marriage was not to talk about it, but that makes hearing from those three couples that much sweeter. So, Gurav Mila Mahagwif, we really appreciate your partnership. Family.ie is non-for-profit, and your ongoing support on a regular basis helps us continue to reach out and help marriages and families across Ireland. Before we wrap up today, here once again is our CEO, Stephen Cardy.
Hi there. I hope 2014 has been good to you, and these highlights of 2014 will be an encouragement to you in raising your family and living in 21st century Ireland. We've had many challenges, and no doubt we'll have others to face in 2015 and beyond. I myself am now completing my recovery following months of chemotherapy treatment for leukemia, and had I not had the treatment this year, I probably would not have much longer to live at this stage. What makes living worthwhile is being able to share our lives meaningfully with those we love and being able to make a difference in their lives, just as they continue to make a real difference in ours. Quoting from a poster called Priorities, which I have on my kitchen wall and has been a standard for me for the past 15 years, it states, "In 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was, the sort of house I lived in, or the kind of car I drove. But the world may be very different because I was important in the life of a child." Our aspiration in our work is to help you make such a difference. In 2015 and beyond, we will be rebuilding our organization to face the future and to be meaningfully connected and engaged with those who need us in our world, especially our families. Thank you for standing with us prayerfully, financially, and being there when you were needed. If you feel you would like to be more involved, please get in touch either directly or through the website at family.ie. Together, we are going to make a difference.
Thanks, Stephen. We hope you'll join us throughout the coming year, on the air, online at our website, on Facebook and Twitter. We strive to have something for every member of your clan. So on behalf of Stephen Cardy and our entire team, I'm Ronan Johnston. Until next time, Slán agus beannacht libh gléir. Thank you for listening to family.ie. Families strengthening families.